Blog Talk Radio.
Hello and welcome to Access Astrology. We are three astrologers who are fascinated by how astrology unfolds in our daily life, in our politics, in the headlines, and in our metaphysical and spiritual life. This is Heather Rowan Robbins, and I'm speaking to you tonight from Ronan, Montana. And it was Ann Ortley's birthday last weekend, so I know that she was out celebrating tonight. She may join us any moment. And Mark Woltz, I'm not sure, might be in a minute. We're looking forward to him. I love it when we're all here. So tonight, the Sun and Mars in Virgo. Mars is about to leave Virgo and go into Libra tomorrow. We will see a little bit less irritable, a little bit more equanimous, bring also the attention back to social justice, because with Mars in Libra, we may not want to fight, but if we do fight, we'll fight for a good cause. That wherever Mars is talks about what makes us unhappy. We look at our own Mars, you know, wherever Mars is in our chart, its placement, it's how we fight, what we'll fight for, what we believe in, you know, what irritates us, what ticks us off, what we get passionate about, what we get excited with, how we set our boundaries. So Mars has been in Virgo for months and bringing up that, you know, it's self-improvement, but it's also that critical edge. What we've been fighting over is how very Virgoan health issues are in the Senate and in the streets, in the hospitals, when people are, you know, they're so vehement what side health comes on. Each side may think that they have the route to health, and that's what they're going to argue about. What's fair, what's clean, what's right, and Mars in Virgo can be self-righteous. It can also be deeply introspective. So what Mars in Virgo, people are prone to fighting for the right to introspect, and their idea of warming up to one another can be to do that passionate approach, to be introspective, to have a right to analyze. And I believe I'm joined by Mark tonight. Mark, are you there?
Hello, Heather. Yes, I'm here.
How wonderful.
From New York.
You're calling in from New York? And
yep.
I was just talking about Mars in Virgo heading into Libra tomorrow.
Libra.
And how, mm-hmm. you know, that may calm down some of that irritability and back-to-school nerves and some of the argument over health issues, but it and introspection. And it may take the fight back out to social justice causes and the right to be peaceful and to not argue with people. So how do you see Mars going into Libra?
Well, given our circumstances, You picked a few themes.
Mm-hmm.
And basically, I always remember that Mars is not that happy in Libra,
mm-hmm.
because Mars doesn't like to have to check with my partner.
You know,
I know what needs to be done. Let's do it.
Right. Not like I'll see if we really need to go out to dinner on Friday. Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. So there is a kind of slowing down, but after Mars is like introduced into Libra for a while, we all get used to it, and
mm-hmm.
Mars is not so unhappy. It's only the
mm-hmm.
initial phase,
mm-hmm.
those early degrees of Libra, and then Mars gets used to it and says, "Okay, I admit there's some use to having a partner."
I have to work with other people. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And then as long as Mars can be Mars, even though it's in
mm-hmm.
Libra, it's happy.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the
mm-hmm.
way to deal with Libra Mars is let all the Mars energy be active
mm-hmm.
and not have to wait too long, not to have to have committee meetings before taking an action.
Right.
That's what really bothers Mars
mm-hmm.
and Libra, is, you know, answering to the committee.
Too many things. Right, or so often
yeah.
it's like, where do you want to go to eat? I don't know. Where do you want to go to eat? Well, I don't know. Where do you want to go to eat? And it can mean that indecisive, which is not Mars happy. But
no.
What really matters is that I think, to much that what matters is that everybody's happy, and that you want, so everybody needs to be open about their opinions, but be willing to negotiate.
Yeah.
Instead of try to double think the other person.
Yeah.
So we'll see what that does to the upcoming election for in California when they're talking again about, you know, with the recall for the governor, which has been making such a brouhaha there. We'll see what Mars in Libra may call for balance again in a new and different way, which will be helpful. Venus, today, the sun is opposed Neptune, and that can, and it's to, you know, tonight, this afternoon, it formed a grand trine with the moon in Sagittarius. So that's kind of upbeat and cheerful and positive, but a little fuzzy-headed and unsure about what's actually happening. And I've had everybody that I know who's called is, you know, all their plans are up in the air. Have you found that?
Yeah.
Just, you know, it's going to be like that through Christmas because of that Saturn-Uranus square. But today in particular, it's, well, you know, what are you doing? Well, I don't know. What are you doing? Or I can't see where I'm going. I don't know if I have the money to do this because of that Sun-Neptune opposition.
Yeah, Sun-Neptune it's difficult on everyone because it's hard to get a commitment.
Yes.
You know, we'd rather be lost in dreams and hopes that are better than the reality.
The one person I know.
Blend it.
Yes. Mm-hmm. The one person I know who's reported in today as everything was wonderful is a friend of mine visiting Lilydale, and she's spending the weekend or the week with the spiritualists out in Western New York. And so, you know, getting psychic readings, taking classes, giving psychic readings, and, you know, working, talking to spirit left and right. And so it's a perfect Neptunian thing to do.
It is. It's excellent.
Mm-hmm.
Wow, that's a great time to be Lilydale.
It is.
I can't think of a better time.
When we were driving across country from New York to, we'll be moving to North Dakota, we spent the first night, because it's a good first one-day drive out to Lilydale. So we spent the first night out in Lilydale, and we stayed there for 2 days and just took a deep breath before we drove across country. And Ren had never been there before and said, this is like John Edwards meets Brigadoon, you know, sort of like caught in time. It's a spiritualist community in Western, if people don't know it, and in Western New York, and with great intuitive training, right? But I remember a T-shirt they gave me at the end of my training out there at one of the weekend workshops, which I thought was sort of the heart of Neptunian dysfunction. And the T-shirt said, "You're fine. How am I?" They're training you to do readings. And it was easier to know what other people feel rather than yourself. And I was like, that's where Neptune, the problems of, you know, whose boundaries there's whose and where and how can be an issue. So those are an interesting process. So Venus and Scorpio, how are you seeing that? I'm seeing kind of some old issues coming up and people starting to play their cards a little closer to the chest and not being as willing to talk about their feelings or telling these stories rather than how they feel. What have you noticed that?
Well, I've noticed a lot of secrets coming up and being revealed about affairs of the heart.
So things
that had not been disclosed or acknowledged are now coming out. And sometimes with vengeance in mind. And sometimes not.
And that can be a difficulty.
Yeah.
But that'll be interesting to see. You know, it brings out that suspicious edge, I noticed. Some of the people complaining about the California election are already saying it was rigged before they even had a vote.
Exactly.
So it's kind of like, yeah, it's important that you ask everybody, whether it's in politics or in romance, you know, do not jump to conclusions before you check your facts, and do not make an accusation if you don't have something to back it up, because it just sets off a chain of problems. And that Venus moving into the square with Saturn this week can do that. What?
With Venus in Scorpio, it's a good period for private detectives.
Mm-hmm.
Personal investigators. There's lots of business.
They'll make money on that. And, yeah, it's in how do they negotiate that in good way. So Mercury is already in its shadow. It's heading into Mercury retrograde on September 26th to October 18th. And it's already, noticing it slowing down. It's going to square Pluto first. Then it's going to retrograde back, square Pluto again, go direct, square Pluto a third time. So that will continue, I think, all these secrets coming up, and investigations.
It's also going to oppose Eris. Right.
Oh, there you are.
I'm on my cell phone. It's going to oppose Eris. Hi, Ann Ortley from the green chair in the living room. on my cell phone. Yeah, it's going to oppose Eris. So that's going to activate the energy of that square that we worked with this month and in August, and that we'll be working with in October. So there'll be a big story. Mm-hmm. Because the Eris Pluto square with Mercury telling tales, because he's stationing at 24. And also remember, because Venus is in Scorpio now, the Libra planets, Mercury and Mars in a day or so, are going to be answering to her. But also Uranus and Taurus, you know, he's on a world point at 14 and change of Taurus, but he's answering to Venus in Scorpio too. So suddenly Uranus got a little more assertive, a little more aggressive, a little more demanding. So there's an interesting energy with all these planets that, you know, were in peace-loving Libra, kind of going, not so much anymore, not so much.
Right.
Right, yeah. That window is closed.
Well, as Mars heads into Libra tomorrow, Mars and Venus will be in mutual reception. And, Neptune will be in Venus is sign, Venus is in Mars sign, and Mars is at home. So it's Mars is going to be tending to take the lead. Now, Mars in Libra can be passive-aggressive and can not necessarily be direct. So I'm asking everybody to be honest rather than sulky and resentful, which Venus in Scorpio can go to on her shadow day. She can also do incredible art. So see if you can turn that into incredible art.
Yeah.
Right. What else are you seeing, Anne, that's got you excited this week?
I think that whole shift in focus, I always find it interesting when a planet that changes focus gets us thinking about things, because we still have all the outer planets, moving backwards. They're not so fast, but they're moving slowly, but they are all opposite the personal planets. So it's very much, people are really reflecting or projecting. That's the other way it's showing up. Like, well, you did, and it's kind of like, remember, those are your planets in your chart that pulled that person in. So if we think of whoever we're having a power or an oppositional energy with as someone that's there to help us understand something, even if we don't agree with it, there's a request for a dialogue, right? A request for some kind of So I think it's important, because when Venus and Mars switch signs with the mutual reception, Venus can be very charming in Libra, and Mars is very directive in Scorpio, and so they can really complement each other, or they can do their lower form, Mars in Libra, Venus in Scorpio. Neither one likes those placements, and we can have the lower, the harder, the harsher form of energy. So it's important to kind of think about, how are you using them? And when someone comes into your space and you have a reaction of whatever sort, because of all the opposition energy, to kind of delve in a little deeper on what the emotional reaction is, because Scorpio likes to bring things up from the underworld. And so I think that that whole, if it's, you know, it's a little hysterical, it's historical, is an important thing to keep in mind with this energy.
Mm-hmm.
If somebody's really upset, it isn't necessarily what you're talking about. It's the stuff below the surface, you know. So.
It's been interesting watching with Venus going into Scorpio, the Taliban, I'm not interesting, horrifying, but interesting, that Taliban cracking down on the women of Afghanistan, and one of the protests is to, you know, they're not allowed to be in school unless they're in a black thing from head to toe, the hijab. So they're posting pictures of themselves with their face out and their beautiful, colorful clothing, which is natural to the country, and on, you know, Instagram and TikTok, and being supported by Afghani women around the world that are, can send pictures back and say, you know, we will not be, you know, we may have to wear this in public, but we are not invisible. And that felt very much like Venus in Scorpio squaring Saturn.
Yeah,
and taking on the fight.
Well,
with the Mercury in Libra, remember, it's answering to Venus in Scorpio too. So it's going to make really precise communications that it are pointed, you know, because Mercury normally in Libra is a little diplomatic, but this is like when they do the closing arguments and they kind of are pinning you to the wall. Well, did you know that? Did you do this? Did you know that kind of, you ask those directed questions that you want to, you know, kind of process and pin the person down to that story. And so it's an interesting energy. To Mark's point earlier, private detective energy, you know. Everybody's going to dust off their Nancy Drew, their Agatha Christie, their Sherlock Holmes, and be like, all right, there's a mystery afoot. I have to solve it, you know. So it's good.
Right. Right, that's going to be interesting, and that will going to be interesting to see how that plays out in the headlines. So let's take some callers. Is everybody ready for a caller or two? Okay, area code 901-364. You're on the air. How can we help you?
Hi, how are you all doing this evening? Thank you for taking my call.
Yes, how can we help you? Quick like a bunny. How are you doing?
Oh, I'm good in spite of, I've just been going through, having a lot of family stuff going on, just buried one niece this past weekend. Her sister is looking at doing 8 years starting this month, and there's been a lot of stuff, I guess.
I'm having a little trouble hearing. I think that my connection isn't great. So I'm going to let Ann and Mark take this one, unless I can get that. But can you give us your birth information?
Birth
information, the person that you're interested in.
4461.
Birth
time, 5:51 a.m., Memphis, Tennessee. Sylvia.
Okay, and what was the time again?
5:51 a.m.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Okay. Yeah, so you're having, you know, you have that Venus-Saturn square in the sky in your chart, right? And right now Venus and Saturn are approaching a square. And Pluto and Eris, you know, Eris is on your Venus and Pluto's on your Saturn. So those are a lot of really big life-changing transits where things are really going to shift. And so, you know, you're seeing that obviously with the death of your family member and then with your other family member looking at being sentenced. But it is, you know, it does, because of the energy being on there at the end of the month, Pluto's going to station at 24, square in your Venus And at that point, you know, the stories start to move forward. So when we get to that first week in October, October 6th, when Pluto goes direct, because he's squaring your Venus and he's in your 10th house, he's activating you and what's of value to you and your 6th house and your 7th, a lot of your relationship stuff. So there'll be some, that'll be when everything goes forward. And it, right now it feels like you're waiting on everything to come back around. And when it comes around again, then, okay, what's that new story look like? But, yeah, it's a hard time, Sylvia, for you right now. And also you're having, you know, Mars opposite your Neptune in the 12th house, which is your relative, the younger, or assume it's the younger one, facing jail time, because Neptune's in the 12th house of jails. Your Mercury's there, right, on the Neptune. So the good news is the energy is shifting in a couple of weeks, and it'll ease up a lot of stuff. And, you know, one of the things with the Scorpio moon is you always do the emotional processing for the family. That's kind of been your job. And now you're kind of looking and going, okay, there's, you know, I'm really feeling that emotional processing, releasing, or my responsibility around it is shifting. So that's a good sign. And that comes from a couple of things. Pluto getting off the moon because he's sextiling it, and Eris finishing her inconjunct, and Neptune trining the moon. So your job is very much to witness all the endings with that moon in Scorpio in the 8th, and your gentle energy around consolation and working with your family members. And remember, your Mars and moon, we talked a bit about mutual reception. Your Mars and moon are in mutual reception. So that allows your Mars to be in Scorpio, which is directive and helpful, and your moon to be in Cancer, which is kind and caring. Again, those energies are all, you know, really active right now. So you need to take good care of yourself. That whole story about, you know, put your mask on first when you're on the plane is really applicable to you right now. Mark, what do you see?
Yeah, you have a lot of energy to process the family dynamics. So go ahead and use those. Be open, be aware, and give people the space to join you.
Okay. It also made me started looking back, excuse me, at my spirituality, and, you know, that we die, but we don't die. We are eternal. So it started making me looking back into that as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that may be helpful for all the other things you're dealing with.
Right.
Yeah.
And I just got a flash of lightning outside my window, Sylvia. So the heavens agree with you. Just saying.
Yeah.
Why did your relative pass of?
I'm sorry, repeat that again, Miss Ann.
You said one of your relatives passed. What did they pass of? Was it expected or unexpected?
Well, it was, we think it was an overdose, or she struggled with drug addiction. She was born November the 2nd, 1976, so we think could have got hold to some bad drugs.
Mm-hmm. That's the Neptune, the Mars Neptune.
Yeah.
Yeah,
because she was sun sign Scorpio. So we're waiting on the official autopsy report, but that's what her daughter is thinking, that may have been the cause. Yeah.
So
what's going to be the focus is how to heal. How do we take care of each other when something like that goes on? So And, you know, Mercury retrograde coming up with Mercury squaring Pluto, retrograding, squaring Pluto again, squaring Pluto a third time. It is going to be, the family is going to be doing a lot of processing. And just don't get stuck in the past. You know, they'll be introspecting, and everybody, the tendency to think they could have, would have, should have done something differently to make it work out. But, you know, with Mercury retrograde, looking back and feeling regret or anger, and instead of how can you use it to heal, you know, like what are the thorns in the family and how can we help each other find a different way? And really, you know, don't try to, it's sometimes easier to think, if only I had done this differently in the past, then this wouldn't have happened, because then we don't feel so out of control. But it feels very important in this situation to remember that there was nothing you could have done to change that.
Oh, yeah, right. Yeah, I know. I know. You know, that was her life, and, you know, we did all we could do, and she made a, you know, conscious decision to continue to go down that road versus get off that road.
So we
buried her Saturday, but she actually passed on the 27th, and because her being in at the forensic station, they didn't release the body until a week later, and then the funeral was scheduled a week from that. So, but
so
the minority report.
A lot of family memory going through it, a lot of information coming up, and, you know, that just, you know, don't get stuck in the past. You know, you're feeling the pain of her honoring that and knowing that turning your life, all of you, every bit of success and health that your family can muster is the best response to this. And that, I think the people that are, you know, her kids seem to be the ones that are going to need the most help with that.
I don't feel a lot of sadness around it, because I have a understanding that we are eternal. In the movie Minority Report with Tom Cruise, one of the precogs with a female, she said, "The dead lives on in hell." You know, I'm going like, so they just know that quote just popped up in my head, you know, some days ago. You know, along with other things like we're eternal. So, you know, it is what it is. Yeah. So it's just basically helping my other family members, me helping them to get through it, because I have a, you know, I love her, I miss her, but I still have a big understanding of we are eternal.
And really work with that during this time.
I will. And thank you all. Appreciate that.
Thank you, and good luck.
Yes. Okay.
All right. Y'all have a great evening.
I just had thunder now instead of lightning. The thunder's woken. I think your sister's in New York, I just want to say.
Well, I'm going to continue.
One of the things that she brought up was how Pluto, you know, that we are eternal, that often when the family is dealing with the Pluto thing, and over the next few weeks, you know, Pluto says nothing is enough. No one thing is enough. It has to be all of it or none. It has to be everything or none. And that place that we can, I think, you know, people are going to be needing to go to their most philosophical places in response to the events of the next, and the feelings in the next couple of weeks. So, you know, take it and run with it. I think of, you know, the Bishop Shelby Sponge, who died yesterday, and whose famous quote was, "God is not a Christian, not a Jew, Muslim, or Hindu, or a Buddhist. All of those things are human systems which human beings created to try to help walk into the mystery of God. I honor my tradition, I walk through it, but I don't think my tradition defines God. I think it only points me to God." And I thought that was a pretty powerful Plutonian expression. So last words for people?
Be kind and maybe be a little naughty. Venus is in Scorpio, so if she says, I think we should be a little naughty, you know, life is short.
Beautiful. Mark?
Okay. I like your last words that you quoted.
Thanks. Yeah. Ooh.
Who were those from?
That was Bishop Sponge, Sponge. He was an Episcopal bishop who was, you know, really pushed the church to explore beyond the traditions. And he died yesterday. So for that, That's beautiful. And so this is Heather Rowan Robbins saying goodnight from Montana. And Mark?
Mark Waltz saying goodnight from New York with all the thunder.
And Anne Ortley from New York with the rest of the thunder on the East Coast.
Okay.
Wonderful. We'll see you all next week. Take care.
Big hug.
Good.
Bye, everybody.
Bye now.